You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This review is brought to you by the streaming service Film Movement Plus, which opens up a world of award-winning entertainment, including some of the best films from around the globe. Among the hundreds of titles waiting for you to discover are some of the best films from 2020, including The Wild Goose Lake, Zombie Child, and more. Available on Roku, Apple TV, and Amazon Fire, as well as streaming online and on mobile, Film Movement Plus is priced at $5.99 a month. But, as a listener of Digital Noise, Film Movement Plus will give you a 30-day free trial, plus the next 3 months at 50% off when you use the promo code NOISE. Sign up today at filmmovementplus.com. So I totally understand that it makes absolute sense to call this movie, and with what the movie is actually about, the story of the movie, The Mauritanian. The Mauritanian. Did that already leave your head? Did you already forget what this movie was called? I bet you did, because I know I had never heard of the country Mauritania. I mean, I'm an American, so.
So you have an excuse.
So I have an excuse, right? So forget the whole thing. But you know what I'm saying? The name is one of those that leaves you immediately. I've had this on my slate to review this for a month and a half, and I kept forgetting that it was there. Going, oh yeah, I need to watch that M movie at some point. Maybe you should have called this Dude Who May or May Not Be Unfairly in a Terrible Prison Movie.
Really?
This is originally titled Prisoner 760.
See, that's a better name.
But I think they wanted just people to feel dumb. I'm all about making people feel less than the... No, I'm just kidding.
This subject is not dull at all. It's something that makes you very angry. Although it does beg the question, why this movie didn't come out earlier? Feels like maybe if this had come out like 5 years ago or something, this would have had a little bit more of an impact. Now it's kind of like, yeah, we're all kind of on the same page at this point, aren't we? But anyway, I'm not here to decide alone. Joining me are the critics, Frank.
Hello.
Jordan.
I hate Bush. Oh, wait. All right. I hate the Bush administration.
And Jenna.
Hello. Howdy ho there, neighbors.
Oh, you can tell who's going to be the civilized one on this review.
Yeah, exactly.
The cultured one. The voice of NPR, Jenna. I have a college degree.
Right? This is what it sounds like when you go into student debt.
I have free polo shirts.
I'm not wearing pants. You know, we don't have to. It's the winter. Anyway, I won't get into all the reasons I'm not wearing pants. No one needs to hear about that.
It is winter, Chris. Yes, it is definitely winter.
Winter is coming, but that's not the only thing. Anyway, The Mauritanian is based on the 2015 memoir Guantanamo Diary. So, to be fair, if they had put this out 5 years ago, it would have been very timely with the release of the novel by Mohamedou Ould Salahi, which is the true story of the main character of this film, said author, who was being held for 14 years without being charged, like many, many, like hundreds of prisoners in the Guantanamo Bay detention camp in Cuba. Here he's being played by actor Tahar Rahim, which is a name I think you're going to be hearing a lot more about after this. Already a lot of people are pointing at him for awards season going, no matter how you might feel about this movie, you got to admit, this guy was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And it follows the U.S. government. They've shoved all these people here without charging them, you know, after 9/11, who were like, okay, well, we suspect they might be involved, and then just kind of left them there. And he ends up getting a defense attorney, you know, not even trying because he's got no access to the outside world. Jodie Foster, playing Nancy Hollander, and her associate, Terry Duncan, played by Shailene Woodley, are like, well, look, this is a case that's basically about habeas corpus. It's this guy who is not being
being given access to any rights whatsoever, which is completely against a bunch of shit. And things that led to them discovering all the shit that was happening at Guantanamo Bay, all the horrible human abuses, anti-Geneva Convention stuff that still hasn't been, like, no one has been punished for, barely slapped on the wrist for, just flat out physical beating the shit out of people, torture. And following his story of, like, how he ended up becoming someone who was a sort of a voice for prisoners, but as well, it explores the question, as a viewer, is it possible this guy was guilty? At least in the context of the chronology following the film emotionally through it. I mean, if you've read the book, you already know the answer, but...
I felt like it was asking more so, even if he is guilty, is this justified? I like this movie, albeit it definitely didn't need to be 2 hours. I appreciate the fact that it wasn't so cut and dry, and these weren't the type of binary, these characters who work within this binary, who's the villain and who's the bad guy. They didn't really write a lot of the characters like that, and they could have, but they didn't. So I really appreciate that, because it's clear he was connected, but like 14 years, no charges, like we are. You know why they're allowed to do that, because you already know who they did it to first to even be allowed to do that. It definitely made me angry, but I enjoyed the lead actor. I'm not even gonna butcher that name. Nope, not gonna catch me out here.
Just call him Tahar. I think it's
okay. Tahar, you're amazing. And Jodie Foster, bruh, she fine as fuck.
Yeah, she's a goddess.
We love Jodie Foster.
She's so much better than Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes.
Okay.
That was just meant to dig at Frank. I'm sorry.
He's just being mean because I have not suffered enough with my one day with no power. But what this movie really did, like so many Americans, I knew of Guantanamo Bay, but I think there's a part of me that purposely kept it in a sort of peripheral lens. And I think this is the first time that I really was like, no, you need to see this because this is actually what happened. This is your country's history. I like that. I think this is like a, I don't want to call it a wake-up call, but I think it's really sort of an education to the extreme reaction to 9/11 and the aftermath and how the powers that be dealt with it and the extreme way, ways of torture that I didn't even know were ways of torture. But I love that it really all comes down to a question of justice and humanity. And I think the way those two elements are blended, it's so well done in this film.
Yeah, you brought up Jodie Foster and how no one in this movie is binary. I thought that was perfectly exemplified by her, since we understand she's a defense attorney, and even she's like, look, this isn't about proving he's innocent. I'm just doing my job. I'm trying to make sure he just has rights. Because even she was like, yeah, I defended a rapist. Did he do it? I don't know. I just know he's got a right to an attorney. The other great cloud of judgment is around Benedict Cumberbatch, who I thought was pretty terrific here.
He plays Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Couch, who is the person assigned by the military to be in charge of the prosecution.
And he has a personal connection since someone he was close with was one of the pilots on 9/11. And we follow his own journey into gray morality. I liked this movie fine. I just thought the first half was a bore, a bit of a drag, but the second half is far more interesting. But the most consistent thing is the performances of Foster, Cumberbatch, and especially Tahereh Raheem. And absolute dynamite powerhouse performance.
A lot of critics are saying that they found a lot of the first half of this boring, and I don't know if it's just because I love legal procedurals. I literally have to not watch Law and Order because I will just not stop. Because, you know, at any given time, there's something that's playing Law and Order nonstop. There's a channel out there that's like, we're playing 29 straight hours of Law and Order, and I will like be there, I'll just watch one episode, and then before you know it, it's like Wednesday. So I can't do that because I get too into the procedurals. So I really was with this all the way through it. Feels a little imbalanced about like what ethics it's more curious about discussing. Like you brought up, Jordan, how it's like, okay, so it's just about being the lawyer. You know, it's just about the thing that you're supposed to be working on. And that almost feels like an aside in the movie, like almost a plot element to get you to a sort of emotional break in the third act for Jodie Foster's character. But it's not like badly written or anything. It's just a little on the nose, maybe.
I think it was perfectly paced, to be honest with you, and I didn't really think it dragged at all. I think with this many different perspectives, it needs to be the length it kind of is, without diminishing one of them or all of them. The Benedict Cumberbatch character's moments are the least interesting. They are the least compelling, because it's just basically, oh, the other side gets slapped with a morality dose, and they start to learn, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. And that's the least interesting part of the film compared to the gray that the Jodie Foster character is in and the struggle of Mahamadou.
And it's a shame, because it makes sense to have that be part of the story. And I kept going, man, Benedict Cumberbatch is really giving his all in this. I mean, the man is doing a southern accent, right?
Yeah.
This British dude. And I kept waiting to go, this is terrible. But honestly, he did okay.
His American accents are getting better. But I do want to counter Frank. I still found the Benedict Cumberbatch parts interesting, because I'm trying to remember one of the last times there was like, oh, you know, someone on the other side's got to feel conflicted. I honestly felt like that was honestly earned here. He went in with a pig-headed way. It's like, America!
But it's also the least compelling of the three.
If I were ranking the main character arcs, the E would be last. But I did find that fascinating, especially a very surprising villainous turn from Zachary Levi.
He's at best apathetic. You know, he's not even really that bothered to be a straight up villain.
And that is the villainy in this film, is apathy.
Yeah.
Of these people who are like, well, it's not me. I'm like, I mean, come on, motherfuckers get what they deserve. People who are hearing about, there's some fucked up shit going on, who are like, I'm just not going to hear that. I'm just not going to listen to that, because I'm not ready to deal with it. It's kind of like this movie points that accusing finger at a lot of people, saying that's the problem here. It's too many people going, well, we were angry, so we're just not going to worry about the stuff that we know that we're doing is totally wrong, or that the guy next to us is doing is totally wrong. I do think that the Benedict Cumberbatch arc is the weakest, but it still made me want to know more, because it's a good performance. It's an interesting character. And I kept going, entirely because of that, man, this should have been a miniseries. Really should have been, because it would have had room to breathe with his character.
I think he's also a producer on the movie.
Can you write a part in for me? This part was entirely fictional.
My favorite scene is that gift shop talk between Foster and Benedict Cumberbatch. I thought that was brilliantly done. I liked the camera work and the intensity that's underlining it.
Jenna's laughing over here. What's going on, Jenna?
Y'all are like, oh, this movie's so good. And I give it its props. But I was waiting for everybody so I could be like, let me tell you why this movie. No, I'm joking.
Quick, someone throw water on her.
Make sure you boil it first. Come on.
Well, we wouldn't want her to get sick before she melts.
We're boiling water tonight in frickin' Austin. Anyways.
As much as I like Benedict Cumberbatch, he was amazing. I think the acting in here was really solid. I love Shailene Woodley. You know, I'll butcher her name. She was a very nice surprise, and I'm glad that she got a role where she just wasn't looking around like she's lost, which she often does. But in here, they actually gave her something to do, and she did it well. She was actually one of my favorite characters, and I wish we would have given her more, because I feel like her character was the only one that was the most human. It wasn't overly pandering to my emotions either with that character. Like, they didn't make her overly sympathetic or overly naive. She was able to stand on her own. But this movie was way too long, and the pacing to me was absolutely horrible, but that was due to the editing, especially when there was like these flashbacks. I've seen stronger films handle material like this in a way where it's shot and there's imagery used. There's just better ways to shoot this film that could have gotten a lot more across. I actually wish they would have punched up the writing a little bit more. I never read the book, but it just felt like this happened in the book, so we're just going to make it a reenactment on television. Especially towards the end where he does his monologue. It got me because of just how the compositionally, how it was shot with him being center. So of course I have to stare at him. But as he was talking, I wish they could have brought a little bit more out of him acting wise. So that emotional like punch that it was supposed to have, I would have experienced this on 9/11. Like, I knew everything was going on. I knew about Guantanamo Bay. So this isn't new information for me. And they would not have allowed this film to be released at that time, because they're putting America in a bad light. So that's why it wasn't made. They were not going to allow this movie to be made back then, especially with them criticizing Obama. Yeah, good luck with that one. But I enjoyed it. So I guess that was like kind of my final thoughts, but.
Yeah, I was going to say we're at that point. So you might as well just go into your final rating there.
There you go. Yeah, well, my final rating of this film, that'll be a 7 out of 10. It did drag in certain parts for me. Yeah, the acting is what saved this film. You have people in here who I can tell really, really cared about the work they were talking about, and it was treated with respect. And Jodie Foster is amazing as usual. Everyone in here just really did a really good job. Even the prisoners and the folks who were watching over the prisoners, I'll say it like that nicely. Even though they were on for two or five minutes, right? I don't know. It was, they did very good world building. I'll give them that. Like, I felt like I was immersed in there. And I like the fact that they were able to point out the hypocrisies within the environment. Because you have this beautiful beach while people are being tortured. You know what I mean? That type of contrast. I think they did really well. 7 out of 10 times. He should have just, like, wrote the damn paper. High key. Like, bro, just write it down, bro. You know what I mean? But...
It did take him a while to put his thoughts on paper. Right. Like, yeah, stop being stubborn. Just fucking write the damn thing.
Yeah, that's what I tell myself every single day when I'm trying to write. And you know what? How often it actually happens? Not often.
Yeah. I enjoyed this film a lot. I didn't find the issue with pacing a lot. I think because like you, I do love the procedural aspect. And I do love all the little nuts and bolts and whatnot. I do think that it does suffer because of the Cumberbatch character. That perspective is not that interesting. I don't really care if they learned their lesson or not, because I really don't think that that side really is capable of learning a lesson, to be frank. But
you are Frank, so that works out.
Frank is being Frank. But I think that this is solid. I do think the performances here are really great, even though Cumberbatch is doing an accent with an accent. It's an all caps accent to the point of like, okay, I like you better when you're not talking. This does raise some serious questions. It does raise a lot of anger within you, depending on your level of humanity. My only gripe with it was the final courtroom scene, like Jenna was saying, but it was for a different reason. I did feel the emotional pull. I think that that last scene is well written, but they put this score over it that's so emotional. And it's so made for the heartstrings. It takes away from like the validity and, you know, the overall credibility, because it's just so, it's like strings and it's, yeah, it's sweet, but it's for the wrong film. But overall, this is solid. I like it. I love my Jodie Foster. I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 fish filet meals from McDonald's.
Jordan.
I found this film to be good. I like procedurals too. I don't mind it. I just think it's the editing, but I do recommend this film. I knew a good chunk of what had happened, like the blaring of heavy metal music, the keeping them in the stress position, and, you know, all the other disgusting fucking horrible things. This movie is anchored by stellar acting. Not so interesting first act. It grabs you in the second act. I do love that final court scene. That is all caps italicized acting. And it's brilliant. In terms of like legal thrillers and political films, it's one of the better ones in a while. I'm going to give it 7.5 out of 10 redacted reports.
While this is one of those films that definitely is, you can tell by a lot of the technical aspects, is out there vying for awards, an Oscar-y film, I agree with Frank, some of the score is a little, taking it a little farther than it needs to, considering the type of film it actually is. You're like, okay, calm down. That we don't need the orchestra to instruct us how to feel in this particular scene. I think this is an excellent movie. It wasn't too long for me. I wanted it to be much longer, but like I said, in the form of a television series. I feel like this is a 4-hour miniseries would have done it so much more justice, because there's so many more things that need to be addressed inside of this that are really just kind of given a little bit of lip service and then passed by, that the Benedict Cumberbatch character should be just as fascinating as all the other characters here, because here's a guy who is going through a massive moral quandary here, who's having to reconsider the way he feels about everything in life. And it's just kind of like, he's definitely kind of a third wheel main character of this thing. He's given very short shrift to everyone else, because they're like, well, no, but our audience is on our side. So they'll be like, yeah, yeah, good for you. Like, but that doesn't make for a convincing character on film. And it's a shame, because this is something that really happened. I did overall, though, really enjoy watching this, but it is by director Kevin MacDonald, who is an Oscar-winning director who won for a documentary in 1999, One Day in September, about the 1972 murder of 11 Israeli athletes, but also did the tremendously good Touching the Void, The Last King of Scotland, State of Play, the documentary Marley, which got nominated for a bunch of stuff, the documentary Whitney. I mean, he's a really good director, and I think that if anything, this film may have suffered a bit from them not really knowing who they were selling it to. or how they wanted to sell it. But I think it's excellent movie, well worth seeing. I give this 7.5 out of 10 lovely boat rides to take your prisoner on.
Now let's truly acknowledge how amazing this film is. It addressed Guantanamo Bay and it didn't need the true heroes, Harold and Kumar.
That's true. There's not much getting stoned in this movie, which is a shame because this is totally a stoner movie, right?